we look at God's word this afternoon, I'll be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, the second letter of Peter, chapter 1. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, and then we'll look at the canons of Dort. 2 Peter chapter 1. As we reflect upon this word of God, we recognize it, and we see here how God assures us of election and calls us to pursue this assurance of election. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort, so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns, and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy has ever produced, or was ever produced, by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Just as you have your Bibles in front of you, a couple points that are worth noting. First of all, verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So we have everything that is necessary for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. That's what we're looking at this afternoon. That's why the assurance of election. As we know God's election, there's something that God gives us in that. But also Peter's reflection that he had seen the majesty on the Mount of Transfiguration, the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, this is why I want you to know this, and I want you to understand it. So that as we focus on verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. that there's something for us to attain, something for us to strive for, and that is to be all the more diligent to confirm, to strengthen, to help us understand our calling and election. To that end, let's look at the canons of Dort. This can be found on page 77 in the Green Book of Forms. We're going to be looking at Article 111, and then we're going to look particularly this afternoon at 112 and 113. But I'd like to begin with 111. We looked at this last time. We have the magnificent definition in 1:7. I'm not going to reread that, but I'd like to pick up with verse 111, and it reminds us that what God does in election, he does according to his character. As God himself is most wise, unchangeable, all-knowing and almighty, so his election can neither be undone and redone, nor changed, revoked or annulled. Neither can the elect be cast away, nor their number be diminished. Now, Article 112, the assurance of election. The elect, in due time, though in various stages and in different measure, are made certain of this their election, an unchangeable election to salvation. They attain this assurance, however, not by inquisitively prying into the hidden and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves with spiritual joy and holy delight the unfailing fruits of election, pointed out in the Word of God, such as a true faith in Christ, a childlike fear of God, a godly sorrow for their sins, and a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Article 113, the value of this assurance. The awareness and assurance of this election provide the children of God with greater reason for daily humbling themselves before God, for adoring the depths of his mercies, for cleansing themselves, and for fervently loving him in turn, who first so greatly loved them. It is therefore not at all true that this doctrine of election and the reflection on it makes them lax in observing the commands of God or falsely secure. In the just judgment of God, this usually happens to those who rashly presume to have the grace of election or idly and boldly chatter about it, but refuse to walk in the way of the elect. Well, this afternoon, we're dealing with, again, the assurance of election and the applications. We make this transition. We've identified election. We've identified the character of God that is the foundation of election. And this afternoon, we're moving to some of the applications. That's what these closing articles of the Canons of Dort reflect on. They reflect the applications. And the first application is how does election apply to you personally? Can you say that you have experienced God's electing love? And if so, on what basis? And if you have that basis, what difference does it make in your life? As we approach the subject this afternoon, we must be careful to reflect the Bible's teaching about assurance. But what it means to have the certainty of election. And here the encouragement we have from Peter is be all the more diligent. We have to put our minds in gear. We have to put our hearts in gear. We have to apply the teaching of God's word. But we also need to recognize that, as Article 12 reminds us, it comes in various stages and in different measures. You see, assurance of election is not something that's black and white. You have it or you don't. It comes and it goes by degrees, in various measures, in different stages. It can flourish and it can wane, but it is there and it is attainable. And God's word is encouraging us to strive for that. Be all the more diligent to confirm that, to strengthen that. So that's what we're going to consider this afternoon. First of all, can it be known? How it is known, that secondly. And then what happens when it is known? So can it be known? How is it known? And what happens when it is known? That is the assurance of our election. Can it be known? The question here is not, can it be known generally? Can it be known intellectually? Can it be known as kind of this abstract idea? And certainly it can be that. But the question of can it be known is intimate, particularly, personally. Can you know that you are one of God's elect? Is this an appropriate quest for the child of God? Or is it always up in the air? We just never really know. Some would suggest that there is assurance, but it is known only by a few. It's very selective, very occasional. It's few and far between. The Roman Catholic Church, in its practices and in its teaching, deny the commonness of assurance. You will never know whether your sins are fully and finally atoned for. And this explains some of their practices. This is why there's a weekly mass wherein Jesus Christ is sacrificed again on the altar, what they call the altar, and given to the parishioners. Because that is where they have the assurance. It's in the sacrament or in the use of the mass. And it's only when you've had that you can be sure that you have grace. Apart from that, you have no way of knowing. Apart from the church, you have no opportunity of being assured. It depends. You have to believe it, and then you add to that faith the works of the sacraments of the church for you. And that's your assurance. Well, we don't recognize that. We say, oh no, that's not where our assurance comes from. But there are Protestants as well who deny the particular assurance. Arminians would say, and that's who the canons of Dort are written against, they say you can never be certain. It is only when you die in faith, die continuing to believe in Jesus Christ, that you can be assured that you're elect. In fact, that's their understanding of election. That God looks down the corridors of time. As he looks down the corridors of time, he sees which individuals are going to believe in him right to the day of their death, right to the point of their death. And he says, now, once I see how they respond, then I elect them. Because Arminians will speak of election. They have to. It's a biblical word. They have to deal with what Peter is saying. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. As a biblical word, that's how they explain it. They say, well, that comes when God knows for certain that you will believe to the very end of time. But there's always a possibility that you will deny the faith, and you have to resist that. And so it's up to you to counter that. So that's one error in Protestantism that we need to resist. Yes, we must counter them and say, yes, assurance of election can be known. It's known in the work of Jesus Christ. But there's another error. There's another error, even amongst those who claim the name of Calvinists. And it is they who suggest that it's only a few. The number is very small and limited who know for certain their elect. In the worst case scenario, I've heard some say who hold to this notion that they will never know if they're elect, but the best way they can be certain of their salvation is if they keep going to church and they keep doing what God wants them to do, but in the end, it's all up in the air. It's a very fatalistic way of approaching salvation. And those who are certain, well, election is a doctrine that comes to them, and to speak of assurance, they need to have a special experience. They need to have a special word from the Lord that says to them, now you're mine, and then they can have this assurance. For them, to speak of assurance of the elect is pointless, Because there is no way to know for certain the experience of election. But you see what this does. This takes the heart out of the teaching of God's word, the heart out of this truth. It destroys the hope of the Christian. It destroys the reality that God's word says that salvation and election can be a certain thing, that you can be confirmed in it. It's only a hypothetical reality that one day can be attained. We are called by God, and we are to be reminded of this. This is the encouragement that Peter gives. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is verses 3 and 4. Not in some hypothetical way, but in the real certainty, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory. When we know God, we know the certainty, the assurance of our election, by which he has granted to us precious and very great promises. It ties in so beautifully with what we looked at this morning in Hebrews 6, as we saw God swore by himself to Abraham that in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Hebrews 6 makes the point that we have this hope as an anchor for our soul in the throne room of God, in the heavenly of heavenlies, drawing us into the presence of God. He's granted us precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's not saying that we become God, but we have this intimate, glorious fellowship. This is the assurance that Paul says in Philippians 1, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. He will carry it through to the day of Christ Jesus. You see, people of God, here we're called by Scripture. Don't leave your doctrine in the books. Don't make it just heady intellectual stuff. Live it in your lives. And when you do, you will be assured. You'll be assured of the truth of your election. You'll be assured of the certainty. And what is that certainty? It is the work of Jesus Christ. That fellowship, that union that you have with him by faith, that you are his. And yet there's one more aspect that we need to consider that must be addressed concerning whether or not assurance can be known. There are some who are deceiving themselves. They have all the Bible verses memorized concerning election, and they say, yes, that's me. They've studied the ins and outs of the doctrine, or they just live off the teaching of this doctrine, and they rashly presume. They say, it doesn't affect how I live, it just means I'm in, and that's all that matters. And God's word warns against that as well. They deceive themselves, and the election just comes down to an intellectual grasp of this truth. Instead of doing what it's supposed to encourage humility and adoration. Not pride and presumption, but humility and adoration. To approach of the grace of election, we need to be careful to examine our hearts. The canons of Dort say it this way: in the just judgment of God, this usually happens, this false assurance, this deceptive assurance happens to those who rashly presume to have the grace of election, or idly and boldly chatter about it, but refuse to walk in the ways of the elect. You see, here's the reality. Can it be known? Yes, it can. It can be known because not only does Scripture hold out this promises, it reminds us again that this root of the work of Jesus Christ will produce fruit. And if there's not this fruit in the life, then beware, beware. You have falsely deceived yourself. But the focus this afternoon is particularly to comfort and to strengthen our awareness. And so secondly, we need to consider, how can this assurance be known. How can this assurance be known? And this is another question where we must be exceedingly careful, because there is a reaction to dead orthodoxy. Dead orthodoxy is a claim to the truth that doesn't affect our lives, that doesn't change how we live. That says there's the elect and I'm a part of that, but I can live as I please and I can do what I want. We can know it intellectually, but not experience it in our life. And there was a reaction within the church. And the reaction in the church to that misuse of this doctrine, this real misuse, and we need to recognize there is a misuse of it. The reaction was to go and the pendulum to swing all the other way and to say that assurance is found not in the knowledge of God's word, not in knowing Jesus Christ, but in a special experience that I may have, especially the experience of regeneration. Have you been born again? And it flourished again, not only in the 18th century, but it came about again in the middle of the 20th century and with this question of born again. And remember that Charles Colson had that book, Born Again, and there was a question in the 70s, have you been born again? Have you found it? And the danger is that this experience of conversion becomes the sole focus of the work of God. The focus on regeneration. Have I felt it? Have I known it? And the danger is that this is then how assurance comes to be known. It wants to determine the truth of election solely by what I have felt or what I have experienced. But election and assurance of election is not just about coming into the kingdom. It's about the rest of our life as a Christian. And the danger of this is how quickly those feelings of the first days of belonging to Christ can fade away. And then you're on this constant treadmill of trying to recapture and maintain and experience a fervor and a delight and a sentimental feeling about the work of Jesus Christ. And this is the quicksand of so much Christianity. It's unsustainable. We'll drown and we'll trap ourselves in it because there's not enough experiences that we can have to maintain the certainty. We need a foundation. We need a rock solid, steady foundation. And that is what needs to be the root of our experiences. We're not called to compare our experiences with others. Assurance doesn't depend upon the intensity of our feelings or the frequency of our feelings. It doesn't depend upon some special experience. Here again, the canons of Dort, like a wise instructor, like an aged pastor comes to us and says, be careful. You attain this assurance not by inquisitively prying into the hidden and deep things of God. You obtain this assurance not by maintaining and sustaining some extraordinary experience. The danger with these is that they're all focused inward. They're focused on me, upon what I feel, upon what I experience. Don't pry into those deep things. Instead, as I've alluded to again and again, look to the Word of God. God knows our inclination to do this. And he assures us, and he warns us, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the hidden things belong to God, or the secret things belong to God. That's his secret will. But the revealed things belong to us and to our children, so that we may obey them. Assurance comes from an awareness of God's work in our lives. That's what Peter says. His divine power, that's God's divine power, not our divine power, has granted to us all things. He's given it to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. That is, through Christ. through knowing Christ, through trusting Christ, through yielding to Christ, by which he has granted to us precious and very great promises. So what do we do? Notice verse 5, for this very reason. For what reason? Because of the reason of the work of Jesus Christ, as the root which produces this fruit, for this reason make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, it needs to grow and develop. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the calling is for us to look at the fruit of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. The canons of Dort touch on this. This assurance of election comes by observing in themselves with spiritual joy and holy delight the unfailing fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God, such as a true faith in Christ, a childlike fear of God, a godly sorrow for their sins, and a hunger and thirst for righteousness. All of these things cannot be extracted, divorced, separated from an awareness of who our God is. When you know God, it changes the way you live. We're sure of our election when our investigation leads us not to an experience that I must relive, that I must recapture, but when it leads us to Christ and Him crucified. And what happens when this assurance of election is known? That thirdly, what happens? Article 13 reminds us of that. The awareness and assurance of this election provides the children of God with greater reason for daily humbling themselves before God. Not pride, but a daily humiliation for everything that He has done and is doing in your life. For adoring the depth of His mercies, for cleansing themselves, and for fervently loving Him in turn who first loved them. When we reflect upon that, this is what Peter says. Peter, who has been in the majesty of the glory of God, as he alludes to that in verses 16, that we didn't follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, who at that stage thought his assurance of election came in building a tabernacle for Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration so that they could sustain and maintain that experience forever. Jesus said, that's not how it comes. The Father said, that's not how it comes. You will see it as you see the work of Jesus Christ. And what does Peter draw us to? He says, don't strive for that experience like I had on the holy mountain. Turn your thought and attention again to God's word. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention, to a lamp shining in the darkness, rendering grateful returns of ardent love to the God who first loved us. That's what happens when there is assurance of election. If you don't see the fruit of God's grace growing in your life, don't doubt your experience. Doubt your relationship with Jesus Christ. Flee to Him. Surrender to Him. Follow Him. And be assured. And listen, and as you do that in faith, make it sure that your faith is founded and rooted on the work of Jesus Christ. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. go again to the work of Jesus Christ and let him be your assurance of election. His work, which accomplishes his purpose in your life. You see, it's not inquisitively prying. It's humbly, adoringly surrendering to your Savior. That's the assurance of election. Yes, it can be known just as certainly as Jesus Christ can be known from his word. From Genesis to Revelation, it is all about him. What a blessing to know him, and in knowing him, to have the experience of election. As we conclude this afternoon, and as we reflect upon that reality, I'd like to read for you the song number 441. 441. Notice again, this is Horatius Bonar, and as he reflects on that, he in a song captures these glorious truths. Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. And he's going to go through a variety of experiences. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. No other work save thine, no other blood will do, no strength save that which is divine can bear me safely through. That's the humility that the canons of Dort refer to. That's the humility that God's word calls us to. But there's also the loving adoration. And the song closes with that. I bless the Christ of God. We adore him. I rest on love divine, the comfort that he provides. And with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Savior, there is no other, this Savior, mine. It's personal. He's mine. 'Tis he that saveth me and freely pardon gives. I love because he loveth me. I live because he lives. What a glorious assurance. I love because he loves me. I live because he lives. That's the assurance that we can have of our election. Let's close this afternoon together with prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can again listen to your word, that we can reflect upon the glorious privileges, the calling that we have received through your word this afternoon to confirm our calling and election. To confirm it, not by inquisitively prying, but by going again to the gospel, going again to our Lord Jesus Christ, surrendering and submitting to him. And in this way, to have our assurance strengthened, our calling and election confirmed, so that we would be fruitful within your kingdom with humility, with fear and adoration, with all those virtues that Peter has given to us, so that we would show the certainty of your accomplishment in us, in sinners like ourselves, for the glory of your name, that we would be the testimony to the power of Jesus Christ in us. Lord, be with us through the coming week. We pray that you would bless us and keep us, and cause your face to shine upon us. Lift up your countenance upon us and be gracious to us. Cause your face to shine upon us and give us your peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.